Hello and welcome to Boarding Party's D&D campaign. Featuring Bentley Woods, CJ, D Blackwater, Milo Reuter, and Phoebe Wilhelm. I'm Drew, the game master for the Laris region. Riding the high of their new tree victory and empowered by Arjan's feast, the flock sets off for the final stop on their gym circuit.
Ladies and gentlemen, hello. Welcome back to Boarding Party. I'm joined once more by Monty, a bird.
Squawk.
And a sizable portion of the Reuter flock. When last we left off.
Yep.
Monty and the squad had a most triumphant dinner.
Yes.
Comprised of some apple honey glaze meatball subs.
Yep.
A rousing speech from Monty. And howl. You let out a howl. A most triumphant one. Yet again. Bursting back to full power, if only for a moment. Somewhere, a spark of inspiration struck your soul and you just had to let something out.
Yeah, boy.
But as we sleep off our hearty meal at the Hootie Hoot Inn, up in our little treehouse bunkers for anybody that wants to be in there.
Yes.
Sunrise comes to you pretty early.
Okay. Monty and Titania are going to have a chat before they leave because it's cold up there. Monty's done this journey, so has Violet, and it's not fun.
No.
So he doesn't want to subject anyone else to this pre-fight, so he's going to fly it alone. However, he's going to have a discussion with Titania.
Okay.
And in doing so, say, hey, this is the last challenge. We've been there before. We've seen the beast that we're going to fight.
The beast from...
From my vague memory of how others discussed this, it sounds like that's the only thing we're going to fight. So, in what ways can we stack the odds in our favor? Knowing full well as a player that there's probably going to be things that prevent him from being stunned or things like that, because that would be super cheating. But they don't think like that because they don't know. It's going to say, we need to come up with the team. But given this is the final challenge, I think you and I should partake in this, Titania, together. Titania agrees. And she's amped.
Monty.
So.
Stepping in the ring.
We are going to.
Once more.
We don't know what this is going to be. This could be a situation where it's like everybody on one thing, and it's just like a whole line of people against one thing. It could be like a video game boss fight where there's like one thing, but we have two teams on two sides, and we need to coordinate. So here's what we're going to do. Or maybe doubles or like triples at a time. Who knows? What we're going to do is we're going to draft teams to each side in case that's how it pans out. And we're going to have... Monty's going to draft a team, and Titania's going to draft a team. He's going to encourage to fill gaps within each other's squad for both strength and utility so that they know. And when they get there, they're ready. When he lands and they're about to fight, they already know what's going to go down. So he is going to probably on like the side of a tree draw some really rough... like little face icons of the team, and there's gonna be a Monty and a Titania, and they're gonna pick who they want to fight, or have on their side, or who they think is most fit for battle, and we will get into that when we get there. But that discussion is had, and Monty will pack up the squad, pack up the stuff. Arjan requests a little bit of a grocery run because he doesn't think there's going to be much in the cold climate up north, to grab a couple supplies. Mm-hmm. Monty will assist with that, and they will make their way to Etoila.
Oh my God. Hold on to it. All right. Monty.
Yes.
Flying solo?
Yes.
Okay. As we leave from Nutri, fly up into the sky, take one last look down at Nutri in the crater, crawling with little vein guys.
Yep.
Put that out of your mind for now. As you're flying, give me a nature or an insight check.
Okay.
Either one. Either will do.
Seventeen.
Okay. You remember your way. That's not the issue.
Yes.
But this time as you take off, you know you should be facing some pretty sizable headwinds. Mm-hmm. A lot of cold, maybe some snow, some hail, some sleet even. Mm-hmm. As you take off, you feel in tune with the currents of the air. And they kind of swell beneath your wings and help carry you above.
Okay.
Kind of breach through the clouds and fly up to the top. You can see the Laris region from above as a bird would. And as you breach through some of these cloud layers, it should be hard for you to breathe up here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. Something is allowing you in this moment to detect a sort of pocket of warm air that has risen above all of the cold. And as you're flying through this space, way off in the distance, you just get this image in your mind of a large white shape coasting through these clouds. Diving up and down as a dolphin might, but with a very long neck. Just sort of bolstering your flight pattern. Encouraging you to carry ever onwards. And in this moment, you get the strong sense that Milo is as close to you now as he has been on any of your pinpointed journeys.
Okay.
He is east of Xantha for the first time.
Nice.
And knowing that he's nearby and that you've been sort of emboldened by this feeling, you fly atop Beaversby. There's some heavy wreckage in Beaversby. It's still standing. The university building stands as tall as it ever has. A lot of the barricades are slightly damaged. You see a Prinplup down below you.
Nice.
Kind of helping to prop some things up. A familiar face from our past. Shout out to Frost. Rebuilding some of those barricades. And in a weird twist for you, see an entire tribe of Sneasels on the inside of the barricades.
Oh.
Setting up various traps.
Okay.
And mechanisms.
It's good that they're working together, but it's not good thinking about what had to happen for that to be okay.
Yes. If only it were so easy all the time. But as you fly very quickly over Beaversby, looking down, see Rothhead, the Rothhead Inn, standing tall, untouched. No smoke in the chimney, but that's pretty typical of the last time you were there with their frozen coffee. Just have to lick the ice cubes. As you carry on north of Rothhead, that eternal storm still pummeling the mountainside below. But there's this little pocket of air that you're able to fly through, almost like a tunnel. And as you approach the mountaintop where those runic glyphs keep everything safe, you're up in the air, but down below, see a swath of maybe 30 or 40 Elgium just staring at this rock wall. Unable to enter, you see the rubble on the outside where several of these creatures have tried to enter and have failed. And standing behind them is a similar creature that you glimpsed from afar in Nutri. A tangled mess of what looks like a deconstructed person. If you took away everything but the veins, it's just this amorphous stack. It's almost like a cylinder. And it just sways in the breeze. And it's just this mess of interconnected fibers woven between itself.
Disgusting.
And it's a deep, deep red. And there's also some blue and some green in there. It's very unsettling. But it sits almost rooted to the staircase, but similarly unmoving, unable to enter. But you, Monty, being not made of steel, coast right through the barrier.
Okay.
Right over top of all these creatures. You arc around the side, see the Erste Hund sat in meditation on a large plateau, just breathing deeply, one fractured tusk, still missing but regrown in ice. Just sat, breathing deep. You see those large nostrils flare, each one large enough for probably Wadsworth to sit in. This is a massive beast.
Wow.
And perched at its side, in a similar state of meditation, is Janusz. And with each breath that they both take, the storm surrounding Etiola similarly swirls a bit and carries on in this elegant Araya-like dance, up and down. And unlike last time, where there were no others remaining, see a few dozen members of a similar tribe to Janusz. And he still holds a mantle of authority as these individuals have been arriving with stacks of timber and supplies and foodstuffs and weapons and armor as they are gearing up their respective sort of tribal elements. There's a number of small tents that have been set up for now. And on one of these tents is a strange symbol for the tribe here to display or see. But for Monty, it jogs a memory of someone you traveled with for a while. There's a large, stylized anchor painted on the side of one of these tents. And held beneath is a stack of stones in what would be known as a cairn, as they have placed a covering to protect Gordo's resting site from the storm and anything else that might befall them. You see a number of large caribou-like creatures hauling various sleds of material to and fro, bringing it all around this shattered landscape. And where once stood a wrecked and ravaged town, now stands a campsite ready to be rebuilt. But as you arrive, perched down in front, without even opening its eyes, the hound rises to its feet, stretches, and you see one of the mountain peaks nearby just kind of shift.
Whoa.
As it moves. Greetings, little crow.
Salutations, first hound.
The winds told me you would arrive today. And that your journey nears its end.
This is true. Our journey reaches its peak. Wink. Here in Etiola, however, It is just a journey of preparation.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For the trials ahead.
Indeed, the trials ahead have been testing our defenses unsuccessfully. And there's a slight grin beneath the just thick jowls of this hound.
Good news.
There is greatness within you, little crow. Pride swelling.
He'll look at the team who's all out at this point and can't help but contain. He's trying to maintain a professional composure, but he lets a smile slip through. Say, it's true. We've come a long way and we've grown so much.
Then it is time for us to put on a show for the Northern Tribes. They came to rebuild us. And had they not arrived, they would have been drowned. The fates are mysterious in that way.
Yes, that was an intense explosion to the southwest.
And I cannot help but realize you are in a similar state. Had you not been on your journey, we would not be speaking.
Yep. That's true, actually, now that you mention it.
But let us not dwell on what may have been. Let us focus on the now and see if that pride is misplaced as it rises to its full height.
Okay.
Standing easily 10 times your height, Monty, as you just stare up at this thing and you're like,
here we go.
I said I would fight you. I said I would do it myself.
Yep.
So, Monty.
Yeah.
Here are the rules of the Etiola Gym Challenge, now that we're finally here.
All right.
And ready to roll.
Okay.
This is a 6-on-1 fight.
Okay.
Your mission is to survive a full 10 rounds of combat.
Okay.
1 minute in real time.
Okay.
Or to incapacitate or otherwise defeat the Erstehund.
Okay.
You may utilize any tactics at your disposal.
Okay.
As I said for Tallulah's less than heroic attempt, rat strats are encouraged.
Okay.
But are not a guarantee.
Okay.
As in the sort of intervening rounds, things will get potentially more and more dangerous.
Okay.
The Erstehund, while a massive and imposing creature, is not the supernaturally enhanced Stonebreaker or any of the other crazy critters you have fought. It is immune to flanking, for it is simply too large.
Sure.
You're not going to get an advantage by being on its haunch.
Yeah.
Because it's so large that it
doesn't matter.
This has very little to do with what's going on back there.
Okay.
It doesn't have a 1,000,001 status immunities because it's just a creature at the end of the day. It's just a big guy that hits hard.
Okay.
Otherwise, your win conditions are incapacitate the Erstehund.
Or survive.
Or survive 10 full rounds of combat.
Okay.
Unlike the last few times, I have a spin down die with me today to keep track of the rounds.
Okay.
You do not have to kill it, but you can. You get the same reward either way. This is a test of endurance and strategy. As much as it is a test of raw damage output and brutality.
Okay, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm cautiously optimistic. The type disadvantage thing is massive across my team. However, we've got a plan in place. All right, am I picking
you
the team
may
now?
Choose your team as the Erstehund takes its position in the center of this plateau, and a number of the tribe people that have arrived sort of take their sawsbucks by the reins, back them up and kind of unhook their sleds and drag them to behind buildings nearby.
All right. Well, as we stated, Monty and Titania are partaking in this fight because they want to lead by example. They wouldn't want to subject anyone to anything they wouldn't do themselves. Monty's first choice is going to be the Diglett Trio. Derby, Gustavo, and Wesley.
Oh my god.
Because Derby has the ability to hide underground, mm-hmm. make the terrain difficult if we need to put some distance between us, mm-hmm. and if hitting, put him at disadvantage to hopefully not hit as many friends.
Yes.
Titania is going to pick Violet because Violet has the strength, the experience, the potential ability to lead a third unit if necessary, the ability to pummel with many punches on something that is presumably ice type and weak to punching damage. Mm-hmm. So that is that choice. Monty is going to bring Moonraker again.
Moony Moonson.
Because Moonraker, like many other friends on the team, will benefit greatly from a tailwind. And if potentially boosting from a rain dance that might override, say, a hail that could come up. So we need to prepare for these opportunities. So Moonraker is a good synergistic option here.
That's a good word.
Thank you. And then finally, I'll use Wadsworth Pog as a placeholder, is going to bring Boomer, who has just time and time again proven that he can handle these intense situations. He's a big boy. He's harder to hit. He also can reduce the damage for all of his friends should he get that feather dance off, which is absolutely critical when you are weak to this thing, the whole team. Mm-hmm. So these are the six people they elect. Now, that does leave behind a Howl who has, although showing signs of development, has still not fully been the most team-friendly in that, like, they're looking to him and be like, hey, great job, and he's like, huh? And so they're like, in the pivotal moment, we don't want something like that happening. Obviously, Arjan's not going to be partaking in this fight. Because he will be doing other things. Atticus will not be participating in this fight. And then also Eunice and Shimmer, who fought New Tree.
As everybody posts up. For what may be the last solo Monty Jim. If things go well. Go ahead and roll initiatives. As the Hound rises across the way from you. And it lets out a triumphant roar. The snow in the area freezes in place before following yet again. Violet, in that moment where the snow pauses. You're up first.
All right. Can I do a little held action shenanigans and go in the opposite order?
Yes.
Okay. Titania, when that happens in that moment, it's just going to let out a metal sound and scream at it to initiate combat.
Okay.
Charisma save.
19.
Oh, okay.
You let out a metal shriek, and the Hound just shakes off any semblance. It's as if the grating metal noise that you are emitting is insufficient to pierce through its thick skull.
Okay.
Just makes no purchase.
All right. Well, then Boomer is going to fly up and do a feather dance.
Okay.
For a dex save.
Dex save. He's really good at those. That's a cocked die, though. It's 24.
Wow. Okay. That obviously succeeds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Feathers fall pitifully around the feet of the first Hound.
Yeah. Yeah.
Violet, you may go whenever you want, but otherwise it's going to be the Hound.
All right. Violet is going to fly up straight up at it, trying to set the tone because we don't want it drawing first blood.
No.
And focus energy into a comet punch.
I believe in you. Roll me some attacks. This is going to be big damage if it hits. It's fighting damage. If it hits.
Where's?
Although there's like a million. Probably over here.
Here it is. Okay. Oh. Four attacks.
Four attacks coming in. Come on, Violet. Let's go. Get it, girl.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, that's so bad.
Oh, no.
The highest is a 16. Okay.
They all miss. Violet, you come rushing up. Each one of you in turn is just becoming intimidated by just how large your opponent is.
Yeah.
As Titania, you shriek, and it makes no motion of fear or interaction. Eunice, your heart chills for a second. You're like, it feels no fear. As you're watching your friends in the arena. Boomer, you run in, throw feathers, try to get this thing's attention. It's simply too large. Violet, you let off an array of punches to its jowls, and you just hear that thick, like, slapping
nothing
sound of ineffective punches.
Oh, so bad.
The hound.
Yeah.
Kind of chuckles for a moment and activates the rhyme of Mother Mountain. A 10-foot aura around the hound begins to ice over.
Okay.
If you start your turn there or enter that area on your turn, take 2d6 ice damage.
Okay.
Unaffected by weaknesses.
Okay.
That's just an aura.
Straight up.
Okay. But that's its turn.
Okay.
It activates this.
Okay.
Moonraker. It is now dangerously cold within 10 feet of the Urshtakund.
Okay. So, Moonraker is going to maintain the distance.
Okay.
And with the range, try to hit it with a water gun.
Okay. We've got our choice spec.
Yes.
Dialed in. The scouter cracks from the power
level.
Oh, my God.
No, dude. This is so bad. 13 to hit.
You're
on water
choking.
Gun.
Choking. Yeah. All right, Moonraker. No. You fire. I always say fire and then water. It really did.
You fire water off.
Yeah. You launch a water gun, and it splashes ineffectually on the matted fur of the Urshtahund.
Okay.
Derby. All the derbies. Wesley, Gustavo.
Derby
good luck.
Is going to burrow.
Okay.
And come up on this side, and he's going to be within 10 feet.
Okay. The derbies, 8 points of ice damage.
Okay. And in doing so, rototill that space.
Okay. So what you can do is, because you're moving through that area, you can make an attack roll on your way.
Yes.
Try to pop up, hit him.
Oh, and that's just while that happened, and then he can attack after the fact?
Yeah. As part of the ability, you can move up to your burrow speed.
Perfect.
And make it all difficult terrain. All
right. So the rototilling portion of it is a critical hit.
Oh, praise be. Okay, thank God.
Well done.
Oh.
I need a new, name for Derby.
I know it's tricky because I keep calling them the Derbies, but it's now Derby, Wesley, and Gustavo.
Yeah, so they need a name. But anywho,
we'll
in the meantime.
Put them in the comments below, and we'll see them in a couple months.
How about 15 ground damage?
Is that on the die?
Yes.
So 30. Because he's rocking ice.
Nice.
So, our little dig trio, as you dive beneath the earth, spiraling as you go, each one of you kind of throwing punches and kicks up to just disturb the earth beneath, slamming into the bottom of the Urshtahund. Violet, as your punches land ineffectually, the spires of rock rise around and kind of collide into this thing as you see the dig trio land and then just kind of start to shiver.
Yeah.
Because they're a little bit cold. So double, all of that, but two times. two times better.
And then they'll try to let loose a mud bomb from the rear.
Okay.
For a 22 to hit.
That will hit.
Okay.
Yeah, rototiller needed a little bit of a boost. I figure now that there's three of them, they could do some damage while they do it.
19 ground damage.
19 ground
damage.
On the
die.
Doubled to 38.
Well done, Derby. Thanks
Derby,
for putting us on the map.
Derby in two hits, dealing nearly 100 points of damage in a single round.
Yes.
As you just start blasting into the back of the Urshtahund.
Okay.
Montgomery.
Monty is going to set up a tailwind for his friends.
Okay. Monty, you channel the feeling that got you here so fast. And a warm breeze kind of rolls behind you, and everybody kind of breathes deep. You focus for a moment, remembering what Rosalie told you. Mm-hmm. And you just focus on your team and their energies. As that tailwind blows in behind you, the feather in your cap kind of shudders with that warm breeze. We moving? Happy where we are?
We're happy where we are.
Violet, welcome to round two.
Violet, having been thoroughly embarrassed on the first round of combat, seeing that Monty's setting up the tailwind, is going to mimic the breathing techniques that she learned from that Duat on the mountainside.
Yes.
And similarly meditate and breathe in mirror image into many Violets.
Okay. Violet, you take 4 points of damage for being so close to the Erstehund.
Okay.
And then you set up a mirror image.
Yes.
There are now many, many Violets, which will inevitably get confusing, but it's going to be okay.
Okay.
All right. Boomer.
Boomer, just in case, is going to pluck.
Okay.
Hopefully. For an unnatural 20 to hit.
That will hit.
Okay. So we're going to do some of this for 9 flying damage.
Okay.
Which I imagine would be pretty reduced. Oh, sorry, 7.
Okay. Oh, yes, because 9 on the die minus 2. Okay. 7 reduced to 3.
Okay.
But you do push him over 100 damage taken, Boomer. As you pluck into him, your beak just slams into this ice and rock exterior. And you're expecting like a kind of plush Kit Kat, and you get a mountain. You just, and there's a little crack that forms, and you're like, I got him. And then you realize that's the rime that has frozen on the outside of its fur.
Okay.
And you're like, oh, okay. He was not holding a berry.
Totally fine.
So regrettably, you don't steal a berry from him.
I just wanted to make sure he didn't have one.
Yeah, but you do pluck him.
Okay.
It's about sending a message.
Yes.
It doesn't matter who we are.
Yes.
It matters is our plan. Titania. Also Boomer. You take 11 points of ice damage.
Yikes.
It's 2d6. Swings and roundabouts. Could be 2, could be 12. Or any number in betwixt.
Titania. Titania's going to try one more time to metal sound.
Okay.
At Monty's request, charisma.
That is a 21.
Oh.
This thing has some strong saving throws.
Yes.
And we have our close good friend Griff to thank for that.
Okay.
Okay.
So
one more metal sound shrieks out across the mountaintop. Everybody covers their ears except for the hound.
Seeing how ineffective it has been, Monty will be like, all right, next turn you get him.
Okay. It's the turn of the Erstehund.
Yes, it is.
I got it, right? It's very perfectly positioned. Everybody in this.
Okay.
You should make a constitution saving throw as a blue light pools from within the hound's mouth.
Okay.
And emits in a frost breath. Who failed?
Violet and Monty.
Violet, you are steel type, and you failed, so you're going to take the normal, which is 38 points of ice damage.
Okay.
Monty, you failed and are weak to ice.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot.
You take 76 points of ice damage.
Good lord. Okay.
Who succeeded?
Titania and Moonraker.
Titania, you're going to take half of half, which is 17, I think. No.
It would be normal, wouldn't it? It would
be 19. 19.
Okay.
19 for Titania. Moonraker.
Uh-huh.
Succeeded.
Uh-huh.
Water resists ice. Flying is weak to it. So you succeeded. You take half. Same deal. 19.
Okay.
Now, that's a recharge ability. We'll see if it ever comes back. It never has in anyone's gym, I think.
Okay.
Which inevitably means it'll have happened like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
But it lets out a rhyme breath, and the four of you are nearly frozen solid. Monty, most of all.
Yeah.
You just feel immediately frozen to your bones. You shake it off. You feel that warm tailwind at your back. And you're like, this is not how I go.
Nope.
And you cling to life.
It's true.
Moonraker.
Moonraker's going to fly in.
Okay.
Take within 10 feet and take damage. Okay.
A little bit of ice.
Yeah.
4.
Okay.
4 points of ice.
And with the tailwind boost, go for a wing attack.
Okay.
Eleven to hit.
That'll miss.
Terrible.
That'll miss. Moonraker, you fly in and your wings start to frost over and you break through it just enough to not break through the icy coating on the outside of this large hound. The Dig Trio.
Derby is going to do a mud bomb and then recede outside of the frost.
Okay.
So that no damage would be taken or still taken.
Is that the start of the round?
Okay, well then I don't
care. But you can get yourself out of there later.
No, no, I'm going to stay in there.
Okay. So it's five ice to you.
Yeah, okay.
And again, that's just straight. That one doesn't get modified.
In either direction.
Yes. That one just is cold.
Mud bomb. Wow. A 13 to hit.
That'll miss.
Yeah.
You hit him with a mud bomb.
Yeah, but
disadvantage on his next attack roll.
Yes, but okay. They were checks.
I will remember.
I did remember. It's just I had to do checks, so it didn't matter.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Derby's, it's a rough going out there. Do you want to move at all?
No.
Okay. Monty.
Yeah, he's going to circle over here. And okay. There's not much he can do, but he's going to offer assistance to his friends.
Okay. You want to help somebody?
Yeah, let's help Violet.
Okay. Violet, you've advantage on your next attack.
Okay.
Just one of them, but
one punch.
Yes.
One of the punches.
We enter round 3.
Okay.
Monty, as you squawk out as heartily as you can manage to Violet to get him in the ghoulies. Violet, it's your turn.
Okay.
The hound is coated in mud.
Yes.
It's very cold.
Violet, having meditated, produced some mirror images,
mm-hmm.
hearing from Monty, is going to try to punch him one more time.
Okay.
For 5 punches
this
time.
And then at your leisure, 6 points of damage for being near him.
Okay.
But here you go. I believe
6, you said?
I believe you said 6. Oh,
no,
6 damage, 6. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were talking about your...
No. Attacks. 5 attacks.
5 attacks. Okay. One of them has advantage.
Okay, we'll do this one.
I love it.
Okay, so we have...
The number I'm looking for is 18 to make your math.
The lowest is 18.
They will
one of
hit.
Them is a critical hit.
Oh, so they will all hit. One is a crit.
Yes.
What kind of damage is this?
This is fighting damage.
Fighting? Okay. Yeah. This is going to do triple each hit. So 19
and then
doubled.
This is the critical hit.
38.
Yes.
And then add 19 again.
57.
57. Okay.
And then this is the critical hit.
Beautiful.
8.
So
which is
eight,
doubled to 16.
Doubled to 16.
Which is then now.
So actually,
base damage.
8 tripled is 24.
Yes.
Doubled is
48.
48.
Yes.
So you did almost as much with that one as you did with all of the others.
Yeah.
Whew, the power of the crit. Violet.
Well done.
You hear Monty squawk to you to just hit him where it hurts. And you just start punching, like, right in the throat. And then eventually, one of them, you just kind of hear this, like, as you sort of chunk into the windpipe, just a skosh. As you drop back, and a big chunk of, like, muddy, frozen-over matted fur just kind of falls away. A bunch of ice just shatters on the ground before you, and you're like, I could do this all day. And you're like, that's a lie, but I'm going to say it.
For fun fact, this is true. The reroll crit was Monty's advantage. So, good coaching.
I love it. Monty... Good coaching, bruv.
Boomer has got to try one more time to Feather Dance.
Okay.
It's a dex save. Mm-hmm. I don't even, like, I think his modifier is probably high enough to make it so he never fails.
What's the save?
14.
He could fail.
Okay.
Look at the die. Look at the die.
Which one? The 2?
Yeah. Plus 8.
Wow.
For a 10.
Okay.
He fails.
All right.
Holy Huge. Cow. Massive.
Half damage on physical attacks that are not Boomer.
That is massive. Let's go ahead and... I would categorize that as a curse. Call that a cursed. Ring of cursed on there. All right, Boomer. You see Monty take a massive hit with the team, but still keep fighting. Still instruct the rest of the squad. Excuse me. Snuck up on me. Boomer, you do take 11 points of cold damage.
Again. 11
I'm
twice
rolling
in a
really
row.
High on Boomer, and I feel really bad if I'm bullying him. But, you know. But you manage to kind of bog this thing down with feathers, and it's just struggling to keep moving. It's in difficult terrain. It's covered in mud. It's partially, like, blinded from this cacophony of whatever's been happening to it. And you open a window for Titania.
Oh, this is true. Titania is going to run in and join the fight.
Okay.
Titania. Happily accepting
6 points
whatever
of damage.
Okay. Okay. And then she is going to go for a steel wing on this guy.
Okay. You can do it. I believe in you.
24 to hit.
That will hit. All right, Titania. 28. Titania, go.
Oh, that's beautiful. 17 plus 3, 20 steel damage.
Okay. 20. What'd you roll?
Because
I got triple the die roll.
17 plus 3, because it's 3d8 plus 3 damage.
3d8 plus 3.
So it's 20.
So 20. Super effective. Super effective. 60. Steel and fighting damage here are king.
And Titania. My temp damage gained is just on the roll, right? Not all the...
It's the damage dealt.
Oh, so she'd get 30 temp HP?
Mm-hmm.
That's disgusting.
As you siphon some life out of the creature that you slam into... Two things happen. One, you become emboldened. And two, the hound shows some signs of wear and tear. That's a massive hit. You're throwing out misses and haymakers right now.
Mm-hmm.
As you just clock him right across the jaw. It's the hound's turn. The hound is going to select a number of creatures. And the number of creatures is equal to its dexterity modifier. And that modifier is a lot.
6, so it picks everybody anyway.
I mean, his saving modifier is 8, but his pick is 5. He's going to pick everybody but Monty.
Okay.
The first one is at Derby. It is at disadvantage.
Yes.
Because at long last, he's making an attack roll.
Okay.
Does a 15 strike Derby?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So we will hit Derby.
Okay.
We will go...
What attack is this?
It is called the Mountain's Fury.
Okay.
As the hound kind of sharpens a bunch of, like, icicles around its fur and just launches them at everything in the vicinity. So what we're going to do...
So I'm asking in terms of Feather Dance if this is a physical attack.
It is technically a physical attack.
Okay.
So it will be reduced... we've got...
Because he's ground's weak to ice, so he would just take normal damage. Right?
Yes. So you're just going to take whatever the roll is. So here's where it's going to get weird.
Okay.
So, Derby, you take 9 points of ice damage, reduced by Boomer.
Okay.
To 9 instead of being doubled. And you gain a permanent for the fight. Permanent for the fight. Weakness to rock and ice damage.
Okay.
Titania.
Okay.
The roll to hit you is a 14.
No.
That'll miss. Okay. One ice dagger shoots by, and you just kind of hold up your bulletproof cape wing, and it shatters on the outside. Boomer. Natural 1.
Oh.
On Boomer.
So no.
Big whiff there. Violet. A 23.
Wow.
Yes.
9 points of ice damage.
Okay.
Which you're not weak to yet. So Boomer will cut that down to 4. And then you will become weak to ice and rock damage.
Okay. However, it hit and she's got mirror image up. So we don't know that yet.
It does. It does. So go ahead and roll
the D4
for mirror damage.
I hit you from the mirror dimension.
Mirror damage is when you wake up and you look in the mirror and you go, ugh.
A 2. So that one dissipates.
Okay. You dissipate one of your clones. And Violet, you're like, I could do this all day. Last but not least on the chopping block is Moonraker. Same roll. It's a 23.
Wow.
So 9 points of damage cut down for you to 4. And then you become weak to ice and rock.
Okay.
Okay.
Well done.
Everyone but Monty is weak to the stuff that Monty is natively weak to now. So everybody on the field, except for... No, Boomer would be weak to it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pretty much everybody is as susceptible as they can be. But that's the Hound's turn.
Yes.
Moonraker.
This is true. Moonraker is going to try to do another wing attack.
Wing attack. Get him.
An unnatural 20.
That'll it.
8.
8
flying damage.
8 flying.
Which I believe would be reduced.
It will be reduced.
Which is fine. And then Moonraker's going to take a little damage.
Yes.
Due to proximity.
All right, Moonraker. It's 5 ice damage for the privilege of being near the Ersterhund.
They know all too well. It's like super Eunice.
It really is. All right. Closing us out of Moonraker is Derby.
Derby.
Derby, we've made the decision to remain nearby.
Yes.
Take 6 points of ice damage.
Okay.
What would you like to do, Derby?
Derby is going to create some additional rough terrain and circle back on this side.
You're going to rototill?
Yeah, and then do a mud bomb afterwards.
Okay.
So here's the rototill attack for another critical hit.
Derby! The Derbster.
6, 7, 8 damage doubled to 16 for the original. So if he 32. Doubles 32, 48.
48.
Because he's double weak. Because it's the 8 doubled to 16 for the crit.
Yes.
Doubled for ice.
No, because it's ground.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
So what
it's neutral?
It's super effective.
Oh, okay.
But ice, yeah, ice is not weak to ground.
So 8 doubled to 16 for the crit, 32. 8
doubled 16, 32. Okay.
Okay. And then we're going to try to do a mud bomb.
He's at exactly tree fitty, by the way, for anyone curious.
But only roll a 14 on that one.
That will miss, unfortunately. But it's another strong showing from the Derbs.
Yeah.
As they kind of just dive down, they're like little sand dolphins. They're just popping up like boop, boop, boop. Just popping into them, making some more difficult terrain. It's now it's treacherous terrain out there.
Well done, Derby.
Good job, bud. Montgomery.
Yeah. Monty.
It's a dangerous world out there.
Yes, it's so freaking scary.
For a wee bird.
Yeah, who's teetering on the brink of being knocked out already.
Teetering on the precipice.
Monty is going to fly around to this side to help from this angle and help Titania.
Okay, so Titania, you will have advantage on the next thing that you do.
Yes.
Very good.
And that thus concludes that round of combat.
We enter round 4. The Hound is bloodied. Round 4. Begin. Violet?
Yes.
It's cold out there.
Yes, it is.
5 points of damage to you.
Okay.
Good luck.
All right.
Violet. Your image still holding strong.
Yeah. We're going to continue to focus her energy.
Just get a triple crit.
3 punches.
3 punches. Okay. Come on, squad. Get it.
How about 2 critical hits and a 24?
That seems pretty good to me.
Okay.
All right, gang. I don't want to overhype it. This might do it.
This is 2 crits. Okay?
Okay.
So it's 10 to 20.
10 to 20.
40, 60.
40. So you rolled a 10.
Yes. Doubled for the crit.
Triple it for the damage type.
Okay.
30.
Then double for the crit.
Then double 60. For the crit, 60.
Yes.
Yeah.
Plus this.
Yeah.
Another 6 tripled to 18. So 18. 78.
78. Okay. Hound. Hound's showing some serious wounds now. As you start punching, beneath the rock and ice and fur exterior of the Ersterhund, you're starting to see some bruising. And a sizable chunk of blood kind of coughs up from that barrage of critical hits.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good job, Violet.
Truth.
Okay, Boomer.
Boomer is going to attempt to hit some bullet seeds.
So much every
time. Is it 11 again?
It's 10.
Okay.
It's been 6-5, 6-5, 6-4.
We're going to try to do some bullet seeds.
Come on, Boomer.
Where do they keep going? Sometimes I'm so blind. Okay, here we go. Yeah, Boomer. We've got 2 18s.
That'll hit.
And a crit, and yeah. The rest are going to miss.
Okay.
So 2, 4, and then that's 2 doubled to 4. So 8 grass damage, which okay. I guess would
is
be...
Is super effective to rock, not resisted by...
Ice.
So
16 grass damage.
16 grass.
That's cool. Way to go, Boomer. That was cool.
Putting that the Ersterhund to 444 damage taken. It's right. Still standing strong as you just pepper it with seeds. Titania. Barely going to notice this 6 points of cold damage coming into you. As you're like, you fool. All right, Titania, you can do this. You can do this. This thing is not yes. looking well.
So Titania is going to hear the words of Monty, who's hanging on by a thread.
Mm-hmm.
Take the wisdom... channel it into this strength, knowing that her best option is best for strategy, show, and strength into the ultimate steel wing at advantage. That's a 21 on the first one and a 21 on the second one.
21 is sufficient.
All right.
Some and triple damage.
All of her might. She is going to do 17 again, plus 3 to 20.
60 again?
60 damage again.
60 again.
What a massive hit, Titania. Way to go.
You are closing in so fast. You might... Okay, I don't want to say anything.
Yeah,
but
just...
Titania,
hit me.
You leap up into a spiraling like back kick and just drop the wing down. The Hound. It's going to wheel around... on Titania. And it's gonna just dive on you. It's an 18 to hit.
That will hit.
Okay. Did we get hit with the weakening ray of the attack last time?
Yes. Everyone but Boomer did.
Everyone but Boomer. Okay. So Titania, this is gonna deal super effective damage.
This is a physical attack.
Is a physical attack.
So it'll be reduced by half thanks to Boomer.
Okay, so it's going to do normal damage. Titania, that is 18 points of ice damage.
Okay.
And then I need you to make a strength saving throw.
A 10.
He knocks you prone.
Okay.
And then he's going to bite you again.
Okay.
This time at advantage.
Okay.
But same deal. This is a 22 to hit.
Yeah.
Straight roll. 19 this time.
Yikes.
As it bites down into you, Titania, some of your armor starts to kind of buckle. A familiar feeling for you. This is nothing new. But you can see the Hound is kind of like dripping some blood. There's a lot of bruising. And its eyes have gone a bit wider than normal as it's trying to just kind of size up all the threats. Now that we've knocked Titania prone, it's Moonraker.
Okay.
Moonraker, we take a little bit of Nice little five ice damage to you.
Moonraker's going to fly over to Monty.
Okay. Over to Monty.
Yeah.
All right.
And he's going to fire off a water gun straight at this sucker.
I love it.
For an 11 to hit. 11, well, it's 13, but that's still not enough.
Yeah, I'll miss. All right, Moonraker. It's a good effort. It's a triumphant effort, but it's not enough. Derby.
All right, Derby. Monty will weakly shout out for him to rototill again because it's been so stupid efficient.
Yeah.
That you got to go for it. That is only a 15 this time, though.
That will miss.
So then we'll go for a mud bomb.
Okay.
And then he's going to take some damage from you, too, at some point. Yeah. 25 to hit on mud bomb.
That'll hit. And then Derby at your leisure, it's 7.
Okay.
For anyone wondering, how come you didn't just use the ice breath? I was debating taking 4 attacks of opportunity, but I don't think it survives that.
6.
6? On the die?
Yes.
So, 12. Right?
Ground? Yes.
Got it.
Yes, and main in the disadvantage.
Disadvantage. Again. He would be at disadvantage. Okay. Well done, Derby. Monty.
Mm-hmm.
Masterful tactician as you are.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is on the ropes.
Yeah.
It's on the edge.
Yeah. Monty can't get in close without dealing with it. He's going to say, hey, great job to Moonraker. Keep your distance. Keep hitting him from range. Keep your wings about you for Titania because she's knocked over, and be on the ready to rescue her if needed. It's going to fly around. She's going to assist. He is going to assist Violet.
Okay. Monty, you start coaching Violet. You got this. Hit him again. Hit him hard. Violet, start of your turn. 7 points of ice damage.
Okay.
You've got advantage on your first strike.
Yep. Violet is not looking great. We still have Boomer and Titania.
Uh-huh. You got Violet, Boomer, Titania.
Titania has got wicked weak armor from that last hit.
Mm-hmm.
So she is going to be attacking at advantage with an additional die, which is why he moved over to coach Violet instead from a tactician standpoint. Now, in theory, we could go for comet punches and have better odds. However, we could also try to play the odds game and go for a crazy leaf blade with steel damage if it crits. It's so tempting from like a story perspective.
I mean,
it's so tempting.
You've got
it
advantage.
Seems so stupid.
You've got the advantage. You've got Monty on your shoulder, metaphorically speaking. He would freeze to death immediately.
Yeah.
If he were to literally be there. But
yeah.
This poor guy had 81 hit points, took 76 in the first round. Shut down.
Thankfully, the meal kept him alive.
Yeah, the meal is keeping you in this, I think.
Monty, if anything, from this journey, has learned to adapt, learn from others like he did with Rosalie,
mm-hmm.
and take a page out of Titania's book.
Yeah.
And say, you know what? Go for it, Violet. You've been with me since day one of the journey. Not day one of life, but day one of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
You've come so far. You have this cool sword. Let it rip.
Bay, let it rip. All right. You got this. 2 15% chances. Never didn't have it. Never didn't get there.
20 on the die. First die.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Never didn't get there. What did I tell you? Okay.
We're choosing steel damage.
Okay, steel damage. 3d12. If any of those dice match, roll an additional die. If that die matches any of your damage dice, roll again.
And it's her ability, if she crits, she can change the leaf blade damage from grass to steel.
Yes.
This was like the ultimate gamble.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
I goaded you into this, and it worked out.
Oh, okay. No matches. However, 26 steel damage.
Okay.
Doubled because of crit to 52.
Yeah.
Now this is steel damage to 156.
156. Now, I've never been all that mathematical. You've dealt 516 points of damage to the Erstehund.
Yeah.
It has 600 hit points.
Nice.
You've got 156 damage coming in. So, Violet, in this moment, a little Titania and a little Monty appear on each shoulder. Leaf Blade.
You should go for the sensible move. Comet punches for sure.
Nah, bro. Leaf Blade.
You know what? Leaf Blade.
So you take your sword within your little gloved hands. Violet Bladian, Queen of Blades, Mother of Swords, Indomitable War Queen. How do you want to do this? With 156 points of damage.
So.
Jeez.
Again, Violet's going to look around. She's going to see the team. It started off rough.
It did.
But Derby, of all people, has been putting out crazy damage. Titania's here to stay. Boomer stuck to his laurels and got the feather dance up, which has kept everyone else alive. Moonraker even coming in with some water guns and getting some hits. And she looks back at her good pal Monty, who's literally on his ropes, as she pulls the sword. And he starts to, like, go like he wants to coach. And he's looking around, and he's breathing deep, barely hanging on. And he does what you just said, and he's like, go ahead.
Yes.
And she pulls it out. And in this moment, because she's harnessing all this power, she focuses her mirror images and her focus energies all into this blade as it comes out. Beaming bright from all this energy and becomes a giant steel-type buster sword in the moment. As she goes up, spins it in the air as this thing is on a prone Titania and just comes down, smashing it in the back into the ground as the smoke clears and she goes to help her friend Titania up from the ground.
All right. Couple things happen. Violet, as you smash your sword into the back of the Erstehund, the snow-capped mountains nearby release a little bit of a shudder as these small trails of snow begin to slide down the sides, and with them, a few dozen Elgium just collapse to the bottom
Amazing.
Of these canyons.
Beautiful.
As the hound smacks its face into the ground, it rises weakly. Enough. And the rhyme around it falls. As Monty, rolling over to you in the paw of this large hound as it hobbles its way, is your final badge, the Glacier Badge. Big chunk of ice. A little bit of a coal rock in the middle.
Yes. Monty's
surprise, little crow.
And Monty is barely hanging on with 5 hit points. That's why head getting close.
That was a beefy hit.
Statistically would have died just from getting near.
Let's find out. 7. Yeah. would have killed Monty to get within 5 feet of the hound.
Monty looks around, he sees the team he's traveled with for so far and everything that they've overcome. He sees the rest of the crew, Arjan and them, joining in as he goes to meekly, with the little strength he has, offer it to Violet in tradition to put it in for getting the winning blow. But Violet goes, no, buddy, closes the claw around it. You got us here. You gave me that wisdom. You were the one that, like, took a page out of Titania's book and really turned this team around. You've come so far in everything you've done. You put that badge in, buddy. And he does.
Montague and the power of self-respect. And also the respect of his peers. Monty, it's been a long journey. Leadership for you. Going from not really knowing how to handle the team to sort of bullying them into submission. To now respecting their decisions and their tactics and strategy. As you clamp that final badge into your badge case, there's a subtle blue and white glow that surrounds you and that feather. As your legs begin to kind of stretch out, your body elongates, your head kind of growing a very tall, almost stork-like neck. Your hat kind of maintaining its telltale brim, stroked up there, but now that white feather integrated fully within your person.
Beautiful.
As you stand.
Beautiful.
Facing your team. And even the hound. Well done, little crow. You will need a new name.
And Monty is just as proud as ever, and he welcomes the whole team in as he is just overwhelmed with emotion and pride. And he asks, "What do you mean?"
"You are not so little anymore. You have grown."
"It's true."
As the hound looks up to you. "Opetaya, in our tongue. Teacher."
Nice. The team immediately takes to calling him this, like you would call like a teacher, like a sensei in a dojo. And Monty will say, "I appreciate the respect from everybody, the effort it took to get here, and what that title now means to me is amazing. I will always be Monty Reuter, but I do accept this title as well. Thank you, friends. Thank you, Oesterhound. Let's celebrate."
Indeed. As Janusz will snap with these massive resinous fingers, "Arjan, you've been helping out in the longhouse, preparing a beautiful, if a bit grim and grisly meal of just a large hog." As it is hauled out with a sort of side of apples and greens brought down from the north, the northern tribes all sit around, and each of them in turn, Monty, they come up to you with a bowl of black and red ink or paint.
Mm.
And each one adds a marking to your forehead. Each one kind of carving around your beak and across your eyes and down your face. And they, while they don't share a language with you on account of you're a bird, they motion to the wall. They say, "Opetaya," and they point to a rune.
Mm. Nice.
And as you catch a reflection in a dish of water, perhaps, or maybe some stew, the rune of teacher.
Awesome.
Has been painted on your face.
That's incredible.
As Arjan will walk over to you with a full restore that he has helped brew.
Yeah.
You earned it.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And don't think everything you've done for the team has been overlooked either.
It's a team effort got us this far.
100%.
It'll see us through.
Absolutely. And yeah, everyone's just... our team is in very high spirits. I can't say for the tribesmen. No, they're probably like, whatever.
They're like impressed. So like, yeah.
Yeah!
Back to bird. Rebuilding.
Yeah, we have work to do, but yeah. Go bird!
And they will... The team is going to share any food with the first town if it wants any, but also any other Pokemon that may be in this village as well.
Oh, yeah.
And they want to... instill some positivity in this meal, given what they just went through last night in Nutrie, and hopefully instill some confidence and give some pointers on fighting some Elgium if they come into the fellow Pokemon there.
Yeah. The Sazbucks very eagerly are like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, kick them. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good plan.
Kick them real good.
Oh, kick them.
Yes.
I'll use my hooves and I'll kick them. And they're like, or we should gore them.
Yes.
With our horns.
Excellent.
They're having a great time.
Yes.
They're loving it.
But also with, like, focusing on Behemoth, if there are any, and that kind of, like, legit strategy.
Red Rock! Yes. Kick the Red Rock!
Yes.
Kick it!
The
red one.
And also, as this is kind of coming to a close, or as the meal starts to enter its second half, or what have you, Monty just raises a toast. He goes, to us, to the team... into reuniting in Hillmouth tomorrow. And everyone's just super jazzed.
All the tribespeople just go, yeah! As you squawk loudly to your team. And they're all like, yeah! You get a strong sense, Monty. One, that Milo has reached another source of something. You're not as in tune as Milo is.
Yeah.
With knowing what is nearby. You can tell Milo is Milo because Wadsworth is with him.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other things nearby him as well. You know that he's pretty close. You could probably make it to where he is. Or you could be a teacher. Lead by example and stick to the plan. Choice is yours. The team will follow you either way.
Yep.
You've earned that much.
As tough as it is and as tempting as it is, and they look around, he knows most of the team would just be pretty jazzed to go back and reunite, but he sees a little bit in Titania's eyes, and that, like, as much as Titania loves being with the team of Milo, she would like to stop by home, say hi to mom with everything that's been going on, check on her, and perhaps... partake a little bit in what she's learned in the fight pit. So we'll stick to the plan and we'll make our way to Hillmouth.
Okay. As the feast winds down, your team's wounds begin to recover ever so slightly. Monty, you suit up to fly. These now very powerful wings carrying you aloft, making it even easier for you to coast along. As you take those first flapping of the wings, tailwind is always active for you.
Oh, yeah.
As you... and your feathers kind of catch the warm breeze behind you. You arc back up through that beautiful kind of tunnel array. Fly back out over. You see those Elgium beneath you. You center in. You're going to have to fly over Mayburn.
Yeah.
To get to Hillmouth.
Yes.
But as you coast down the mountain, past Rothhead, over Beaver's Bee again, and across Nutrie, even faster than ever before. You're rivaling bullet speeds.
As they get a little further south and pass over Mayburn and start making that journey, as appropriate, he's going to let more and more team members out so they can fly as a unit. Though, even though it will slow them down a bit, he knows they're going to beat Milo there anyway.
Yeah.
So... he's going to send out Titania, his new second-in-command ace, co-coach, Moonraker, Atticus, Shimmer, and Boomer
Okay. The squad over time is popped out of the ball. You're flying over Mayburn. You still see those weird vein creatures of various shapes and sizes now. A lot of them look human-sized. Many of them look much larger. But they just move around with this very eerie precision, and it gives off an air that they don't know what they're doing, but they know why they're doing it. And it's very unsettling to see. There's no perceptible means of perceiving from their point of view. They have no eyes. There are no ears. They seem to be navigating this world by touch. And yet, there's no other signs of life nearby. There's no Elgium, no Behem, no people, no other creatures nearby. It is an arid, white landscape. And these weird, vein-like bodies just crawl around on the ground. And occasionally they entwine with one another, and the larger will absorb the smaller.
Oh my god.
There is no telling what these may be, but there is no denying what they are likely made of. As they interconnect and split apart and crawl across the landscape, they thankfully do not leave the original bounds of Mayburn. It seems as though whenever they get close, they impact something and are held in place. Their veins pull back. As the team is flying over top, you see these thankfully contained beings beneath you. You see Hillmuth in the distance as the landscape goes from white lunar dust to quarried stone and flat sort of rock land. As you get closer and closer to Hillmuth, you see one of these sort of pockets of Elgium that mar this lunar landscape approaching the edge of the Hillmuth Quarry. And in a flash, suddenly they're cleaved in half and they slide apart. As you see two little shapes pop up on either side of the quarry, race to meet each other on one end, bounce off, collide on the other, bounce to their original position and drop back down. Everything on the rim of this quarry is just cut down. As on the ramp down into Hillmuth are a few hundred at this point, small bodies, medium monstrosities, and even large amalgamations of lunar corrupted organisms.
Oh boy.
You see Ava, your former godmother, for lack of a better term, standing firm at the base of the Hillmuth Quarry, cracking her knuckles as a large sort of rock-like creature is nearby. It resembles a golem, but it's a bit taller and more elongated, and it's held together by those veins. As Ava just picks it up, rips it in half, and throws the two parts up into the pile of bodies. Seeing a bunch of birds come flying down that aren't corrupted. Welcome to Hillmuth, world's fastest growing pile of rubble. Are you here to help?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Are you the only one left?
No. We take shifts.
Oh.
We're all fine so far.
Okay.
Is Titania out?
Yes.
Okay. Ava will look you over. That's a crit.
Ooh. That color's unmistakable.
Yep. I know that paint job anywhere. What's up, little chicken?
And she'll kind of correct her posture to look as tall as she can in this moment. Hello, Ava. It's been a long time.
Sure has, kid. She'll just pick you up into a big hug. Kind of immediately compress your armor. You're like, ah! Oh, it's good to see you. You know who's going to really want to see you. Go on. Just kind of shoves you towards the door to the fight pit.
And she'll go running in.
All right. Kick the door open. You scare the heck out of Thin Chansey. Oh, goodness gracious. Greeting.
Have you seen...
look very familiar. Aren't you already here?
Yeah. Where, have you seen my mom?
Yes, she's... you're over there. You...
and she'll just run over to her mom. We don't need anything chancy.
Yeah. He's like, can I offer you an... oh, okay. You just run in. You see your mom. As Titania has always known, but Milo never did. Titania's mom is old. Very, very old. And is not a blood relative.
Hmm.
But is more of a mom than anyone else has ever been to.
Sure.
As you come screeching and flying in, her old metal joints kind of click together. You can see some rust starting to build up. She'll rise to her feet as she sees the closest thing to a child she's ever had come running through the door. And it's just immediate tears. You got so big.
I did. I've learned a lot. I've gotten a lot stronger. And it seems like the unfortunate events of the world have found their way here too.
Unfortunately, yes. But I cannot tell you what a relief it is to see you're okay.
Same. I was kind of scared as we got closer because there's a lot of those scary rock things. But then I saw Ava outside and had some hope. I'm really glad you're okay, Mom.
And she'll just break down and sit with you. We've been fighting like our lives depend on it. So I'm fairly certain they do now.
Mm-hmm.
No more shows. No more pretending.
Yeah. It's for real. Might be worth it to try to relocate if you need to. Otherwise,
we thought about it, but they just keep coming.
Yeah.
Something happened to the north.
Yeah.
Their presence has been stronger and more formidable by the day, but we've got wounded that we can't get out. So we're going to hold out as long as we can.
Well, when Milo gets here, he can probably help with the wounded. Him and his friends have become very good at healing those that aren't doing so well. So,
normally I'd scoff, but I'll take all the help we can get.
Yeah, we've seen a lot and we've learned a lot, Mom. It's a crazy world out there that I couldn't have fathomed here in the fight pits.
I always sought to protect you from this life, but it seems I should have been helping you through it. Hey, but it seems you got there on your own.
You can take the Skarmite out of the fight pit, but you can't take the fight pit out of the Skarmite.
That's my girl.
Well, until he gets here, we're here to help regroup. We've got plenty of friends here. We can help on the various watches or give you guys a shift off if need be.
I'm sure Ava would not say no.
We've unfortunately fought some of these already, so... has anyone been infected?
We've lost many.
Are they still alive?
No. It was not their wish.
Fair. Okay, well...
we've opted for a death by combat.
Mm.
An honorable one.
Okay.
It's time we got back out there. Ava's been alone too long.
Okay. We got this one, Mom. You rest.
She motions to disagree and tries to stand, and you can see one of the sort of rusted legs just gives out, and she sits back down and goes, "Show them what you're made of."
Oh, I will. And she'll crack her neck and walk out for show, because she knows how to do it for show, but walk out all strong, all smug, and the gang will walk with her. You don't do this alone. We're a team.
All right. As the Rooter Avengers assemble, that's where we're going to leave you this time. We'll pick up with the Rooter team when Milo arrives in Hillmouth.
Enriched by their triumph and with a new appreciation for each other, Monty and the flock have completed their goal and prepare to meet Milo in Hillmouth to show just how far they've come. If you enjoyed this episode of Boarding Party, please consider leaving a like on the video to show your support. If you'd like to see more of the Tots and stay up to date on the Laris region, why not subscribe to the channel? If you'd like to help us out in other ways, you can follow the links in this video's description box to our Patreon. From there, you can join the discussions in our Discord server, or check out the post show, Still Rolling, and get a recap of every session with myself and the crew. Let us know in the comments below what you thought about Monty's gym challenges, and how you think Milo and the gang will react when they're all finally reunited. Thanks so much for watching. We'll catch you next week as Dee leads a hunt for some dangerous aquatic denizens in Fola's River.